Good morning. As we prepare to worship this morning, let us sing together our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. That was mighty weak. Good morning and welcome this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church. We want to extend a very special welcome to those that are visiting with us this morning. We want you to know that you are very welcome here with us this morning, and we hope that you come back to visit us often. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street, and as we pass the attendance pads down the pew, if you would give us your address and phone number, that way we can have someone contact you and let you know more about what's going on in the life of Main Street. This Wednesday night's gathering, you get a free meal out of the gathering this week. The meal is being provided by the Capital Campaign Committee. It will be breakfast at dinner. But we still need for you to make reservations so they'll know how many to prepare for. You can do so by using one of the yellow cards in the pew racks there or by calling the church office. Meal begins at 5:15 and the program at 6:15. And the program will actually be members of our congregation telling what the new Asbury Outreach Center has meant to them and their faith journey. So please plan on being present for the gathering this week. This Wednesday evening. Also, next Saturday, as you know, next Sunday is our Commitment Sunday for our Capital Campaign program. Next Saturday, we will be having a prayer vigil here in the sanctuary from 6 o'clock a.m. until 6 o'clock p.m. And if you would like to participate in that prayer vigil, and we would like for you to do so, please, we're doing so in 20-minute increments. You can sign up for a time immediately following the service just outside the door here to my left. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Will you please stand for the call to worship? Come, let us worship the Lord, whose law revives the soul. Come, let us worship the Lord, whose testimony instructs the mind. Come, let us worship the Lord, and the Lord God shall bless us. Please be seated. Will you join me as we pray the invocation as printed in your bulletin? Let us pray. Lord God, we have come to worship and to hear what you want to say to us. Permit no spectators in the church. Move us by your Spirit as hearers to become doers. May each of us fulfill the ministry to which you have called, for each has received a gift. Each is a part of your body. Call us to recognize each gift and to minister to the varied gifts of each person, even as we stand in awe of such trust and responsibility. Amen.
It is a high and holy moment in worship when we celebrate the sacrament of holy baptism. And today we call forward the family, Chris and Hunter and Nell Wakefield Berman, to participate and receive the sacrament of baptism. I ask you to turn to page 39. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. I now present Nell Wakefield for baptism. Chris and Hunter, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression, and whatever forms they present themselves?
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life?
We do.
And now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Now let us all join together in the profession of the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come to judge the quick and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
The Lord be with you,
and also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin, to clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. And now, Nell Wakefield, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now the Holy Spirit, she'll be called Wakefield. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as a member of the family of Christ. As members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ. And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. I will ask Chris and Hunter and Wakefield to, and whatever other family members you want, to stand with me at the end of the service to be greeted and welcomed. Now, I would like the speakers to come forward now, and as they are coming forward for the capital campaign, as they are coming forward, I want the ushers to hand out the green reservations for the complimentary special celebration lunch that we're going to have next Sunday. We need to know if you're coming. So if the speakers will come forward, and as the speakers are coming forward, I want you to please mark whether you're coming and how many or not. It's very important, because you will get a phone call if we don't know whether you're coming or not. So we need you to mark that, and they will be taking those back up right now at the end of our capital campaign speakers. They will be taking the ushers these back up. So please mark right now, yes or no, and how many. It is important that we know so that we can plan. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Skylar McGinnis. I will be talking to you about the new building today. I have 5 words for you, and can you guess what they are now? Y'all don't have to guess, because this is a reply to my own question, okay? The new building is wonderful. And it's wonderful for one reason, because at church, after children's time, children 3 through 5 year olds are allowed to go through extended session and play and do fun stuff. So I'm not saying church is boring, but I don't think the young ones would enjoy it very much, sitting that long. And I think I'll go there when I'm older, like in junior high and in high school, because in the gym they have there is one place where I like to hang out with my church friends. And on the bottom floor they have a nursery through K-5, and on the second floor they have first grade through fifth grade, and have some rooms where teenagers hang out together and do all that teenage stuff. And I like the new building a lot, and I'm glad it's part of our church, and thank you for supporting it.
Good morning. When Coach Jula asked me to speak for the Capitol campaign, he told me that I just needed to talk for about 3 minutes about what the new building means to me. When he told me that I only need to speak for 3 minutes, I thought, oh good, I won't have to stand up and speak for very long. But then I began to think, there is no way that I can summarize what this church and the new building mean to me in just 3 minutes. There is no way I can even begin to talk about how awesomely God has blessed this church in 3 minutes. So I'm going to try my best. Main Street has always been my second home. It's always been a place where I can come and recharge my spiritual batteries. It's a place where I feel welcomed and loved. In the past few years, I've become more involved in the youth ministries, and I've loved every minute of it. I've made so many amazing friends who I know I can go to if I ever need anything, whether it's a laugh, advice, or a prayer. I look forward to going to youth every week to hear the message and see what crazy game Jack has in store for us. The gym and the Asbury Outreach Center has also been a wonderful blessing. The gym gives our church league teams and other teams a place to practice, and it also gives my dad a chance to show me what he was yelling about from the bleachers at my last basketball game. The new building has provided me and so many others such an incredible place to grow in faith. Every time I walk into the Asbury Outreach Center or see the cross in flame on the side of the building, I smile and think, that's my church. And God has so richly blessed me to be able to be a part of it and its awesome growth. So now I'm asking everyone in this congregation to prayerfully consider making a pledge to help pay off the Asbury Outreach Center debt. As you do this, please remember Paul's words to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others.
As we go into our prayer time, I have several other concerns, but first of all, a celebration. We were speaking about the gym and our basketball teams and that sort of thing. The Main Street girls finished the season in first place. So that's good. And their coach is Tommy Chalmers. Where's Tommy? Where's Tommy? We need to give him a hand too. Tommy Chalmers, our coach. As we come into our concerns, we had a death this past week. We need to be in prayer for the family of Blanche Sherrill. And we have had another death of a member who's been in a nursing facility, and that is Jean Hall. We need to be in prayer for her family. That service is 1 p.m. today at Oak Brook. Graveside service just at 1 p.m. right after this service today at Oak Brook. We also need to be in prayer for Leighton Daniel. He is in the Richland Hospital. He seems to have had a recurrence of cancer in his brain. Bob Bennett is going to have surgery this coming Thursday. Marge Hoffman is recovering from hip replacement surgery. Marilyn Sheridan's son-in-law recovering from five bypasses. G. Poe is in the hospital and has been this week. We need to be in prayer for her. Griff Williams, to just lift up a few, Jim and Ruth Medley, Ruby Miner, Karen Dent as she goes into another round of treatment, Joyce Bartless, some ongoing concerns, Ray Ballantyne, Jason's father, is doing well on his treatments, Diane Davis, Lorraine Stockman's sister, got some disturbing news in her health, and sort of in prayer and anticipating what they're going to be able to do for her. We have all the other concerns I invite you to take home and lift up in your private prayer time. But let us be in prayer for these we have mentioned, for these we have noted, and for our private prayer concerns at this time. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we are glad to be in your house among your people, hearing your word and singing your songs. We feel in this sanctuary a thin space where the walls between heaven and earth are not so firm. We feel the kept promise of the presence of your Holy Spirit. We feel the calm and peace of setting right our steps onto your paths and facing your destination for our lives.
Guide us now as we pray, as we ponder, and as we give ourselves and our best to the building of your kingdom of love and light. Lord, where there is hatred within us, pour out your peace, your love to overcome it. Lord, where there are thirsty souls among us, pour out your living water. And Lord, where there is doubt and guilt among us, pour out your forgiveness and grace which flows from the cross of Christ. Father, we do pray for the marriages represented here. We do pray for those who are in grief, for those who have broken relationships, for those who have financial difficulties, for those who are wearied by old grudges, for those who feel ill at ease and don't know why, for those who have half a faith and pray for full faith, for those who seek to grow but need your help. Lord, as a congregation, help us grow in unity into one body under Christ. Hear now the prayers of our hearts as we pray for ourselves, for each other, and for these concerns we have lifted up. In a moment, in silence, we lift them before you. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we pray as he taught us. We are bold to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite our children down front now for our children's time with Kelly Mullenix.
Morning. Glad to see all of y'all out at church this morning. I want to talk about one of the scriptures that you're going to hear Dave read in just a few moments. It is Paul's, and it's a letter to the Corinthians. And the people of Corinth were having an argument about gifts, spiritual gifts. And they were comparing their gifts. I'm better than you because I direct the choir. And he's better than me because he preaches. And she's better because she has a lot more money than me. And so forth. Everybody was arguing and comparing and deciding who was better than the others. When people in the church argue, it's because they lose their focus. Who do you think should be our focus? Be more specific.
Jesus.
Say it louder.
Jesus.
Yes, Jesus. Don't be afraid to say it. Jesus should be our focus. And we've lost our focus when we begin to argue, which is what was happening in Corinth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We're here to worship him. And we're also here to tell others about Christ as we go about our week. Now, all of you have been given gifts from God. Now, as you grow, you're going to learn what those gifts are. You're going to learn to develop them, and you're going to have a choice. You have two choices. One, you can take that gift, and you can prove how wonderful you are to the rest of the world. Or you can take that gift and use it to lead others to Christ, and ultimately, to heaven. I hope you will make the right choice in that. as you do grow into adults. Let's have a prayer. Gracious God, I thank you for these children, and I pray for them that as they discover their gifts, they discover how they can use them to glorify you. I pray that you be with our church, that we may always keep our focus on Jesus, the way. All of this I pray in his name. Amen.
Before we pass the piece, two things I forgot. It seems as I get older, you know, a computer that has only so much memory, you put something in and something else drops out. You can only hold so much. My daughter Allison was in the hospital last night in labor and almost had my second grandchild. That slipped my mind. You would think I would remember that. But she's at my house and they're keeping her out of labor. So she almost had a baby. And another thing, Jim and Teresa Klauber, Teresa did have a baby on Friday, Wyatt. So those two celebrations, well, one celebration, one almost celebration, I forgot. Now let us pass the peace.
Our Old Testament reading is from selected verses in chapter 8 in the Old Testament of Nehemiah. If you wish to follow along, it's on page 540 in the Old Testament section of your pew Bible. Be reading from Nehemiah 8, verses 1 through 3, 5 through 6, and 8 through 10. Now all the people gathered together in the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of all the men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all of the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen," lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." This is the word of the Lord. Be to God. Our epistle reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. Again, if you wish to follow in your pew Bibles, it's on page 212 in the New Testament section. 1 Corinthians 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole of the body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, and various kinds of tongue. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts. And today we need to collect those green reservation cards for the celebration lunch next week. We need to collect those also at this time.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your kingdom. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Our gospel reading today is on page 74 in your pew Bibles, Luke, 4th chapter, verses 14 through 21. Hear now God's word. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, at our Christian Believer class on Thursday, we were talking about how small some people make faith. You know, faith is more than just saying what you believe. Faith is what you do because of what you believe. I want to illustrate. I found some couple of humorous stories, I think, in a most unexpected place, in an Air Force maintenance log about the difference between saying and actually doing something about it. A pilot wrote down in the maintenance log, "Left inside tire almost needs replacement." And the mechanic signed off, "Almost replaced, left inside main tire." I thought it was a lot funnier than that. Another pilot notes, "Dead bugs on windshield." The mechanic's response, "Live bugs on order." And then the final one, the pilot wrote, "Evidence of hydraulic leak on right main landing gear." The mechanic's solution, "Evidence removed." You see, there's a big difference
between talking about and actually doing something. Now, Main Street United Methodist Church is here because of doers, people of faith who have acted on their faith. Our church is sort of like a bucket brigade. And somewhere in our intercom system, I didn't communicate to Emmy. It's not just brigade, but bucket brigade. And I think most of you know what that is, don't you? Now raise your hand if you do know what it is. Okay, about half of you don't know what it is. Well, before there were fire trucks, when a building caught on fire, a community would gather up every able-bodied citizen into a long line, starting from some source of water all the way to the fire. And they'd get a bunch of buckets. And each one would hand a full bucket of water to the next one and the next one and the next one. And the people would stay still, but the buckets would move on down until the bucket full of water was cast on the fire to save the building. Now think about it this way. Look around at this grand sanctuary and truly look at it. We don't look at it enough. And you might notice that the youth did a beautiful banner in the back there. I mean, it is a wonderful sanctuary, a wonderful, inspiring place of worship. A long, long time ago, somebody whose name is forgotten except to God alone turned the first shovel of dirt on what was to become the building site and then the foundation of this building that we're in. And people walked off the distances and they measured and they looked up at the sky and they imagined and they kicked around a few rocks here and there from one side of the lot to the other. But there was nothing here. Absolutely nothing but a plan and a promise to pay. Now, those people, that Main Street congregation of long ago, kept their promise to the future, to God and to us. They built it and we inherited it. They built it and we came and we worshiped and we have baptized and we have married and we have buried and we have learned and we have sung and we have laughed and cried together here. Those people who built this building, now all gone, once considered themselves the Main Street congregation. Now, truth is, there is no such thing as the Main Street Methodist congregation. There's no such thing. There are only people relating to God and to each other and passing through. We're all passing through. The building, this building remains, and the building attracts, and the beautiful tower shows out in the city. And the building is used in the building up of souls, and the building up of faith and trust and compassion, and the building up of relationships with God and with each other. I thank God that this Main Street campus, now from one side of the block to the other, is more than a dusty old field. By faith and promises kept, it has grown beyond this sanctuary and beyond the fellowship hall and taken over the Chipley building and added parking and landscape and the new Asbury Outreach Center for children and youth and generations yet unborn. Now, nobody here remembers when this dirt that we sit upon was an open field. I don't believe anybody is that old. 1858, was it? Is it? Well, no, that was the original congregation, but no one remembers. No, it's 19. Bill, is it 1915? 1917. I don't think anybody was here when they turned over the first shovel of dirt for this building. But just about every one of us, a few are newer than that, but just about every one of us remember when the space outside the fellowship hall was nothing but mud and mess and very raw potential. Most of us do remember that. Now we stand in an almost 150-year line of ever-changing Main Street Methodist congregations building up and building out with plans and promises to meet the spiritual and relational needs of people that we'll never meet. We are now making plans and building buildings that will meet the needs of people that we'll never meet, not this side of heaven. You see, a good and faithful church is not a social club and is not just a building. A good and faithful church is a doorway into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God does not begin and end here. The kingdom of God goes on forever. What we do matters. What we do here matters eternally. When we believe that, the cost in temporary terms seems almost inconsequential. Now, there are no records of anyone regretting what they did to make this sanctuary possible. There are no records of anyone asking for their money back or saying they were sorry to have been a part of the building up of Main Street Methodist Church. I pray that there will be no one here who regrets in the long run what we have already done and the goodwill that will come from it and the ministry and the mission that will grow out of it. My prayer is that we will truly finish, this is our theme, that we will truly finish the good work with as much enthusiasm as we had in the beginning. Yes, congregations are like bucket brigades. There is a world on fire with souls scorched with loneliness and guilt and despair. And here we worship God, we study God's word, we invite whomsoever will come, and we have said, here we stand. Here we stand. And furthermore, we invite others to come and stand with us. Our source of hope is the gospel, and the power of our faith is the Holy Spirit, and the personnel in our bucket brigade for the moment is you and me. We are a snapshot of the ever-changing membership and personality of Main Street United Methodist Church. The gospel alone offers a faith that can forgive and love enemies. Forgive sins with grace, not ritual, not sacrifice, but grace. And that is good news for people parched and thirsting for relief and acceptance and love and peace. The world can offer many, many things, but forgiveness and grace and hope eternal come only through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. From our gospel reading today, Jesus stood up in his first recorded sermon and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And here is the dramatic part. He rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, then he sat down, and the eyes of the entire synagogue were fixed upon him. And then he said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Do you understand how important that is? He was saying all those yearnings for God to do something, all those hints and prophecies of a Messiah who would come, of God coming personally to save, all that is fulfilled. Is begun right now in me. In other words, the future you have waited for is now. In that synagogue, Jesus seemed to be saying, in a long line of generations you have carried the law and the prophets thus far. Now the kingdom of God, the kingdom of grace has begun in your hearing. And every eye was upon him. The kingdom of God has come and is still coming. There is yet work to do. But God's future is now. The future is coming at us faster and faster and faster. Last Tuesday, as I was thinking about what I would do today, I was double booked for a United Methodist men's meeting and also a staff parish meeting at the same time. And I thought to myself, you know, a few years ago, we didn't even have a United Methodist men. And as I walked out after the meeting, our girls were practicing basketball and Jack was dressed out for a late game at the Y a few years ago. I thought to myself, we didn't have a place to practice basketball. Now our girls are first place. I received the minutes last week in an email from our Lander United Methodist Student Group that for Lander students and for Tech students. And they meet in the basement of the Susanna Wesley building, the old Chipley building, a few years ago. We didn't have the space or the hope of such a meeting. But now we see quite a few young adults, students, every Wednesday. And Jessica Morris has come to us and helps with the 828 Celebrate on Sunday mornings. And a few years ago, we didn't have an 828. Friday and Saturday, Kathy Kelly and I were at a state Salkehatchee summer service meeting in Santee. And this year will be year two of our own conference-sponsored camp that's housed here at Main Street. We didn't have that before. Or adequate facilities to host it. Now back to last Tuesday. We had a grief workshop for the community going on at the same time. Now my wife Caroline, who not only my wife, but also the counselor at the Agape Pastoral Counseling Center. She helped organize a grief workshop. That was also going on Tuesday. Some of you participated in that. Now, the people who participated in the grief workshop, they had to pay for that. But I'm her husband. She gives me grief for free. And of course, moving on, there are circles and there are new Sunday school classes and there are things yet to come. Did you know, I bet some of you didn't, that we have a Homeland Security sanctioned and trained emergency response team for disasters made up exclusively of Main Street members? And we have plans and space for a preschool, which I hope will become a supported and growing concern and a new use for our new building. Children need us in many ways. They need us most of all to teach them the things of God. I love the little letters to God that children write, and I keep a collection of all of those. One of my favorites is a child is being asked at a children's sermon, you know, about marriage, and said, can you think of any Bible verses that have to do with marriage? And the child answers, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I love the way kids think. But one in particular, written by a little girl named Harriet Ann, says, Dear God, are you real? Some people don't believe it. If you are, you better do something quick. God has already done something in the cross, and He has done much through this community. And now it is our turn again. We stand with our buckets empty and then full, empty and then full, passing them on to each other and into the future. It all depends upon all of us standing in line and doing our part. There's an old story about a community that was planning a celebration, and every citizen was supposed to bring a bottle of their finest wine and pour it into a giant cistern in the middle of the town for everyone to share at the celebration. Well, after they had done that, the king came out and he opened the spigot and he was going to pour out this cup, the first cup of the finest wine that everyone had brought, but no wine came out. It was just a glass of water. Just water. You see, everybody in the town had the same idea. They assumed that if everyone else is bringing their best wine, then maybe I can get by just bringing a bottle of water. They didn't think anyone would notice. The town celebration was ruined because no one brought their best, and everyone thought somebody else would cover them. People of God, we are a community built upon faith and trust. And our community is founded by faithful stewards of a church who has brought their best since 1858, since before this building was built. We are a bucket brigade for God. We are to pass it on. And one more thing. A member of this church and a retired pastor, Larry Dunn, gave me a fascinating idea as we were studying this gospel text week before last out at Wesley Commons. He said that it might be good as we end it. Because Jesus said to his disciples, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And he said, if that is true, and we are continuing Jesus' ministry, then we can say the words Jesus said as he read that scroll from Isaiah in his hometown. And so knowing that, I ask you to repeat after me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We are in the year of the Lord's favor. We are in the covenant of grace. As Christ was sent, so we are sent. As a bucket brigade for God. Next week, during worship, you'll have an opportunity to make your pledge to pay off the debt that we incurred in our renovations and new construction. I hope you will be here. I hope you will stay for the celebration lunch, which is entirely free. And especially next week, Dr. Charlie Graves will be bringing the message. And I hope the attendance is not up that much more than when I'm preaching. But no, I do hope we have very good attendance. Please be here. Make every effort. Amen. Thank you. receive this blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the comfort and the wisdom and the guidance which is yours in the Holy Spirit even in this moment. You have been blessed. Be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.